Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Good. I don't have my apron on.
Well, it's okay.
I truly forgot. I mean, I just forgot.
I think it's okay. You don't actually need to be suited up to do the show or to do radio. And it's really admirable that you would fess up, given that we can't see you and we couldn't bust you.
Well, I remember that one time I lied and you totally threw me under the bus. You're lying!
Oh, I couldn't resist, I guess.
I know.
You remember that and I don't, so that says something. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, what you been cooking?
Well, I tried a salmon recipe.
Yeah.
And I got one really good thing from this recipe, which was the stuff you slather on that you make.
Oh, kind of a marinade type thing? A thick one?
Yeah. It's like I don't know. Anyway, it was chili crisp and honey and mayonnaise and lemon zest. And it was really, really tasty. But in the end, no matter what I do to salmon, it's never better than if I hardly do anything.
That's so funny that you say that, because the salmon fishing is so good this year. I think it's the best since I've lived here. And my stepson has a new boat. So there's only one noun that's in our house, and it's salmon, 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 salmon. It's all that's talked about. Stepson had to buy a new freezer. I'm serious. It's just salmon, salmon, salmon. And so remember last couple weeks ago, I made those recipes from the New York Times where you put something thick and slathery on salmon and then you broil it. And those were good. But now, man, I am just grilling it. I love the flavor of grilled salmon. Every once in a while, I'll do like a ginger soy, a little bit. But I'm just doing it with butter, lemon, and I love tarragon on salmon. And so just that's it. I just
butter,
love
lemon,
it.
And whatever you
and
herb
dill
of
is
your
good,
choice.
Or just butter and lemon, butter, lemon, and garlic.
Yeah,
butter, lemon, and salt.
You just really, really. I had the good fortune to work with a fabulous chef some years ago, and he said, in response to people asking it how he made the fish so delicious, he said, "I try not to muck it up." You know,
that's perfect, because you're right. That's how it's best.
Yeah,
just
it is
simple salmon.
But I will say, simple salmon. I will say that this chili crisp glaze. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
I just couldn't come up with that hard word because
it's really hard.
Five letters.
Well, but G's aren't that common, and Z is super uncommon.
Really hard. I'm so proud that I finally thought of it. Anyway, this chili crisp and honey glaze was delicious, and I thought, you know, that's the perfect thing to do for chicken or something that just needs that extra help, you know.
Yeah.
But salmon doesn't really need anything, and it left me feeling apologetic toward the salmon a little bit, even though we...
Well, because chicken is the wallflower of the protein dance party. And
really?
Salmon is the star.
That's
you don't
right.
need to do anything to that.
Never gets a chance to sit down. Always on the dance floor. Oh, yeah. We're so lucky, too. I often read in recipes a reference to farmed salmon fillets or farmed, you know, and I realize how... It's been forever since I've eaten farmed salmon. It's probably been since last time I would order salmon in a restaurant, and I'm pretty sure, you know what I mean? It's not a criminal act. It's just, why would you if you don't have to?
We're so lucky.
I know.
Yeah.
We really are. What have you been cooking?
Let's see. Well, I have been baking mostly. You know, it's that time of year that the blueberries come in, so I cleaned. I've been doing a lot of dishes by hand because I cleaned a couple hundred pounds of blueberries, and my fingers look like I've changed the oil on 14 vehicles, you know, and I can't get them clean, so I'm just like, oh, I'll just do all these dishes by clean, and then, you know, 1% of it comes off, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to do a lot of housework to get these hands clean. But I've been doing a lot of baking, and every once in a while, like I remember I bought tonka beans. They're just some European bean, and it's just a different flavor. And so I like doing that, like finding different flavors. There's so many different varieties of cinnamon, but there's also so many different varieties of of vanilla. And so I bought three different varieties of vanilla that I'd never had before. And vanilla is expensive. A big reason, and forgive me if you know this and I bore you, but most vanilla in the world is hand-pollinated because the pollinators are extinct. And there's very few places that you can get wild vanilla. One of them is in Peru, the Peruvian Amazon, and there's a bean there, and it looks like the Tahitian vanilla. It's just this big, like, brontosaurus of a vanilla bean. And so a spice company that I get spices from got 100 of these wild beans. Wow. So I bought one. So that was exciting. But then because I did that, I'm like, oh, I want to buy other vanillas. So I got three different vanillas. One from Mexico, and there's a lot of Mexican vanilla, but it was from a specific place, and I didn't recognize it as ever having tried it. One from the Peruvian Amazon, and one from somewhere else. Where do you think it was? Oh, if I had my brain with me.
Was it Asia, do you think?
No, I think I've got it on my phone. So vanilla is unusual in that it will only grow within just a couple degrees of the 22nd parallel. And it's very tropical there, but it has to be someplace where there are seasons, where there's a defined summer and winter, and there has to be wind part of the year. It's very, very particular. So that's why vanilla is just so precious, because it's such a...
It's so picky.
Yes, it is very, very picky, and it should be extinct, but it's not, because people, you know, all right, man.
Yeah.
Pollinate it, which is really something. Okay, the last one is, come on, I took a picture of my jars. Oh, Tanzania.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. You wouldn't have thought that, right? That one is called Nyanza, and there's a lot of people, well, a lot of people I know, there's people on the internet that really, really like that one. So, yeah, I really like that. The one that was most expensive was that Peruvian Amazon one. I think it's called, like, Pompona or something like that. But just like the Tahitian vanilla, which is also very expensive, and that's that one that's also a brontosaurus of a bean, to me it smells like cheap Easter candy. Isn't that tragic? It's so tragic.
Peeps.
Yes, I know. Oh, and I'm out, you know, money.
Yeah, yeah, big money.
Two-digit money.
Well,
ooh, two digits.
So I think our average, most common vanilla that we would get at the grocery store, pure vanilla, is Madagascar,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. And it's delicious.
Yeah,
it's just that I'm used to it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it. And all the Hawaiian orchids, all the vanilla there is hand pollinated, every single last plant. There isn't a pollinator alive there that does those orchids. Isn't that something?
Yeah. It is. And it is a testament to our fondness for an addiction to vanilla that people would be willing to go out with their little paintbrushes or whatever and do the pollinating of the plants. Right. Oh, I can't picture in my mind a vanilla orchid offhand.
Oh, I don't think I can either. I just know that it's an orchid that they grow on.
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if we could get a couple of them and put them in our front windows and pollinate them.
No, because we're on the 46th parallel. No, it won't have us. No, no, you are not right.
There's no way to fool them. Maybe there's a way to fool them.
It's vanilla wrong here.
We're all wrong. Unless you're selling vanilla and then we're all right here. We're happy to have you. Oh, my gosh. Well, we are coming up on fall, and the reason I say that is because it has, in my particular little microclimate of a yard, felt like fall for quite a while now.
Yeah, I don't know why, but my trees are turning. I don't know if they're hurt.
Mine have been turning since June.
I know, it's weird, huh?
And now they're all, the maples are seriously into autumn mode.
Yeah, and it just seems early. I guess, I mean, it's like, what is today, the 18th, something like that, of August. It is.
Yeah,
going fast. Good Lord.
Maybe that's it. Maybe autumn isn't coming early. Maybe my brain is.
I know it's not coming fast. I'm slow.
Oh my gosh, that's entirely feasible.
I made a salad that I liked.
Yes.
I didn't get the idea myself. Of course, I have no original ideas. They're only just things that I see. But that's okay. At least I try them. But it was just a regular salad. It was arugula, feta, cucumber, red eye, onion, dill, lime, and honey, champagne vinegar. I had some fennel fronds, so I put that in there. And then I put fennel salt, too.
Uh-huh.
And then I put it on a piece of watermelon. So the thing that I saw you cut out, like you had your pretty little cutter and you cut a round of watermelon out and then you piled the salad on top of it. But I, you know, normally I would just chop it up and put it in there, but I thought, no, this is kind of cool. So I just whacked a wedge of watermelon and stuck it on there and it was fun to eat.
Yeah.
And well, it was pretty.
And was it a good combination?
Yeah, a really good combination. So
red wine vinaigrette. What kind of vinaigrette?
A champagne vinaigrette.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then I put some fennel salt on the watermelon before I piled the salad on it. And I had fennel fronds in the salad. And it's because there's a potato salad I make that I like that has fennel in it and some fennel fronds. But I had fennel fronds left over. How often do you have fennel fronds left over? but I did. And so, yeah, it was good. Arugula, fennel, cucumber, red onion. I squeezed some lime over it. I put some dill, fennel fronds, and then champagne vinegar that had honey and, of course, olive oil, and then a little bit of fennel salt. It was good.
Oh, yum. It sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I was thinking the other day, I need to make some fennel salt. I'm out.
Yeah.
And it's so expensive to buy for no good.
You might as well buy vanilla.
I know. And use it instead of salt. Oh, my God, no. I don't know why it's so expensive because it's so simple and they aren't really expensive ingredients.
No.
But easy to make. And I'm out.
Yeah, we tell, I mean, the seven of you every year, our listeners, that you just toast some fennel in a fry pan. A dry fry pan. And you have to do this because if you bite into a fennel seed, it'll be all woody. But then when you toast it, it's crunchy, and that's super important. And then you grind it up like you would coarse, you know, black pepper. And then you add flaky, like kosher salt to it or some kind of flaky sea salt to it. And I do about 2 salt to 1 fennel. That's what I like.
Yeah.
The proportions. Yeah. And then you sprinkle it on watermelon and squirt lime on it. And my God, is it good.
It is so, it really is so. Unlike putting a fancy glaze on salmon, this particular thing makes a really perfect watermelon even perfecter.
And it's so much better than the sum of its parts.
Yes, absolutely.
And so few things are like that.
And really good on any kind of melon, I have discovered.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you said that about cantaloupe last year.
Yeah, yeah, honeydew. And often, I mean, I think that honeydew often needs a little bit of help. And
yeah, I don't like it.
That you don't like it?
Nah.
Okay. Because of
it's the wallflower of the melon dance party. It's the chicken.
We need to take a class photo of all of the ingredients lined up against the wall at the dance party. I wonder. Now we've got
chicken.
Yes.
And then
honeydew
melon. What else would be there?
I don't know.
My brain's not working. Skim milk.
Oh my God. Totally. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, we're so mean to food.
Margarine.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, you know, we're listing off items that for somebody are dear, near and dear.
I know. We're going to get a letter.
That'd be nice.
I think the seven of them are illiterate. No, no. I know you're not.
No, we know you're not. So speaking of which, you know, I think I'm looking at the calendar because I think in 2 weeks when we're on again, a couple weeks, it's going to be Pledge Drive.
Yay! I love Pledge Drive.
I know. And I have given away so many cookbooks over the ensuing drives that I'm going to be hard-pressed to find more really pristine ones, but I will look because I'm very close to being able to get rid of an entire bookshelf.
Wow.
I know. So I will try to find something to inspire you to participate in Pledge Drive, but it is on my mind lately. We'll have to come up with something, Linda.
Pretty exciting.
Something fab.
It's a big deal this year just because of federal funding being cut. So yeah. Please tune in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be extra, extra fun and crucial. So I want to say a quick reminder to everyone that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And as always, I can't encourage you highly enough, strongly enough, to go to those two websites and see what's going on in there, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. There's lots of local berries right now.
Yeah, which is just really exciting.
Yeah, strawberries are kind of in that. Well, I would say that the strawberries that our very local farmers grow are fine and coming
in
now. Yeah,
they've got some of those, like, what do you call those, ever-bearing, or the ones that just go all summer. But the like the hoods and all that, those are just spring, which is okay,
and they
but
are
boy,
also,
they're delicious.
You know, they're also on the other side of the Coast Range
yeah.
is where they grow those. So,
yeah, yeah.
But we've still got local strawberries, but also blackberries, fabulous. I love August for that.
Yeah.
Blackberries.
Yeah. I wrote a song.
You did?
Yeah.
Another song. Yeah. We need to get an album together.
An album. This one's about the commute to the radio station.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Here it go. Well, I want to go to town, but the dump road is shut down. Oh, that's not it, but it goes on from there.
The dump road is shut down.
I wanna go to town, but the dump road is shut down. I head towards Warrenton and circle back. All I do is waste a bunch of gas. That's the song.
Oh, it's the blues.
Oh, it is. Boo hoo. Country blues.
You know, that's the thing is that we always have this confluence in the summer at the coast on probably every beautiful place that people want to go in the summer is also sadly mm-hmm. the only time that our roads can be repaired or repaved or whatever needs to happen. Our bridges need to be retrofitted. It's the only time because winter is just impossible for that.
It's too soggy.
So, yeah. So we like to, you know, we need to take little picnic baskets in our cars because we're going to be sitting in traffic forever. Yes. Forever. That should be recommended on the visitors list.
Yeah.
Bring snacks.
Yes.
And a bottle of water.
So I did something that I normally don't do. I bought some pizza dough at the store.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, it's easy for me to make, but I learned something. So
tell me about the pizza dough. Was this the already formed pizza
dough?
This is a
A ball of dough refrigerated, yeah. So I actually got it in Longview because I was in Longview for something, and there's a couple places that I will go shopping when I'm there, grocery shopping, you know. And so it was a sourdough ball of pizza dough. So I got that and I made pizza. So I have never really successfully done the whole stretch and twirl the pizza dough thing. It just doesn't work for me. And so I thought it was just, there's a lot of basic ineptitudes that I have. And I just added that to the list, you know, pizza dough number 118, you know, that's what I did. But then this pizza dough, I rolled it out and I let it sit and I stretched it and I twirled it and it worked just great.
Really?
And so what I learned is that my pizza dough recipe is at fault.
Oh, see there?
And you wouldn't think that it could be because what are they? But, you know, flour, salt, water, yeast, and oil, you know, a little bit of olive oil. And so that was a shock to me. But its handling was so different than my pizza dough that, and it could be that, you know, like in a pizza shop, they'll put their dough in the fridge for a couple days. And I think it was probably that because certainly if you're making dough for a super dough, it's a supermarket.
Yeah.
It didn't even have a Z. But that it's sitting around for days, you know. And so I think that added to its gluten and I think it made it better. So I am going to dink around with pizza dough recipes. I didn't realize that mine was at fault. I thought I was at fault.
See there?
Yeah.
So quick to blame yourself. I have a pizza dough.
My hair shirt.
Yeah, right. And it's summer, so even worse with a hair shirt. I have a favorite pizza dough recipe, and it has grated parm in the dough.
Really? That's great.
It's delicious.
Great. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, it just comes naturally.
Yipes. Anyway, yeah. But I think that I have bought pizza dough balls before, and if they are frozen, I can leave them in the freezer until I'm mm-hmm. really don't feel like making dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, I take them out in the morning, put them in the fridge, and by dinner time, they're fine. But I wonder also if it's the sourdough.
I don't know. Because I think that sourdough is famous for reducing gluten, not adding gluten.
Okay.
So I kind of think that that wasn't it. I think that it was left for days and that helped it. And it didn't taste sour, so they might have just been using the word sourdough to get more sales. You know, when they use like a what do you call it, poolish or something that's left over from before, and it's not truly a sourdough. That's what I think they probably did. But the word sourdough, if it has, like, if you are in a jewelry store and they've like, we got this sourdough diamond ring, people are like, I'll take it, because sourdough is such a word right now. You know.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, and it. We all know that it's pretty delicious under the right circumstances. So
yeah.
It is sort of alluring, I would say.
Yeah.
I saw a recipe for pasta a la vodka, which really, it's not my favorite pasta.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's got all great stuff in it. You know, it's the standard pancetta, pepper flakes, oregano, garlic, onion, tomato paste, vodka, heavy cream.
That's the thing right there. So I don't seek out the penne alla vodka either, because if you're eating something, it has to be worth the calories,
yes.
You know? And so I am just as happy with spaghetti, and then I don't have that cup of heavy cream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what does a cup of heavy cream have in it? 130,000 calories?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean,
yeah.
It has to be worth the calories. And I think that's why I don't make that and I don't seek it out. I think that's why.
Well, that's a really good reason, actually. Plus, I don't really, you know, I think that the vodka just adds to the title of the recipe.
Well, there's that theory that there's different solvents like oil,
yeah.
vodka, and water, and that different things, it pulls out the flavors. But I don't think that my palate is sophisticated enough to tell the difference if those tomatoes were in water or vodka.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it all cooks off.
Yeah, and then that makes it expensive, too.
And really, vodka, of all the... I mean, if you really wanted that kind of thing, use gin. It has flavor. I mean, vodka is the booze that people drink when they don't want to taste food.
Then you're having, like, Bloody Mary spaghetti.
Yum. Well, a Bloody Mary.
I know.
But the interesting thing about this recipe that I saw that made me kind of want to try it is that they stirred in, they put big dollops of ricotta on top of it.
Oh.
As they, you know, after it came out of the pan and onto
yeah.
the plate, they put a couple spoonfuls of really soft ricotta on top. And I thought that would be good in a lot of ways
yeah.
that I haven't thought about ricotta. So I'm going to try that, but not necessarily pasta a la vodka.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's interesting because I have a recipe that calls for, 30 ounces of ricotta. And then I get a tub that's 32. So there's always just 2 ounces of. And so I put a dollop of ricotta over something that was like, it was probably a month ago, the fresh snow peas.
Oh, yeah.
And then just not much else, stir fried with some garlic and...
That sounds really good.
And pasta, and then just a dollop of the ricotta on top. So the ricotta made it creamy. But yeah, it was good. It's weird to have an extra 2 ounces of ricotta laying around.
It's making me remember a recipe from somewhere that was ricotta on toast with diced up fresh pineapple.
Oh, numb.
And I remember it being really delicious. But that would be another ricotta on toast with anything would be another way to use up a couple ounces of ricotta.
Yeah, Yeah.
Because that's the thing. That's the thing when you buy something in a tub.
that thing I was saying about having to be worth the calories, I mean, that's pretty much when I'm baking, you know, and I'm thinking of things that I want to bake to sell. That's pretty much like my, you know, just the line right there. Is it worth the calories? I mean, does it taste good enough that it's worth eating this? You know what I mean? And I think that's something to really pay attention to for everything, because I think it's easy to make stuff that isn't worth the calories, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not like saying diet or anything like that. It's just, it's gotta taste good. And that's a hard thing, to make everything taste good.
Yeah. That's a really hard thing. And it's becomes even harder when you're trying something new.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I can read a recipe I've never made before, and all the ingredients sound fabulous. The mm-hmm. combination sounds really good, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't end up being that great.
Yeah, it's not horrible, but it's mediocre, and then it's a letdown. Yeah. You want it to be really good. That's
you do want it to be
thing.
Really good, or else why? But, I mean, if I wanted something to be very good every single time, I would just make breakfast twice a day forever, because I'm pretty good at breakfast, but I get bored. I mean,
And that's one reason I value the internet sites that have the recipe rating system, because you can get a feel for what the majority of people do really like. And, you know, you can read the reviews and it's like, this took me 5 minutes. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that tastes good. You know, you can see why it was rated five. And I think that that's really valuable, because I really don't make anything anymore that really sucks. And I used to from cookbooks. I mean, I remember from a Jamie Oliver cookbook, there was something with anchovies and beets and cream, and I nearly killed Dale. I mean, it was just really, really not what I should have made for dinner that night. Poor Dale.
Well, I'm still there, where I will just be like, I am so bored. What have I got? Oh, who's going to tell me what to do with it? So, and that is really just a, you know, shot in the dark.
Yeah. We had a funny thing. We had a batch of peaches, and oh, the peaches are good this year. Ugh, so delicious. But they had earwigs in their pits.
Oh, what?
Isn't that funny? So, you know how you cut into a peach and then so often the pit
it
will
cracks.
Split in half?
Yeah.
And then brrr, comes the earwig. And it happened once, but it happened three times. It was so funny. And so the first time, Dale's like, and he ate the peach, and I'm just like, ah! But then he ate the other two too, so I've only been eating nectarines.
Well, Dale's smart. I mean, the bug's gone now.
Yeah. Is that smart?
I think so.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, he knows it's safe.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, they're dry and just fine. They're just in the pit.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they doing?
How did they get there?
What the heck are they doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Stupid earwigs.
We think they might be, but I don't know. I don't know about earwigs. All I know is they're speedy. And I will buy bouquets of beautiful flowers grown by local people who grow beautiful flowers. And often I get bonuses.
Yes. They always have to sit outside our house a couple, in on the table outside for a couple hours before they can come in.
Yeah, exactly. I am sorry to tell you, Linda, that we're almost out of time.
No.
Yes, we are. Aww. And I wonder if you'd like to sing us out, but not about your drive over here.
Another song? Oh, I couldn't.
It's a medley of your hits. Come on.
Oh, I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, my earwig-free broccoli. I'm driving a bushel of corn home. So nice talking to all of you, all seven of you.
Thanks so much, Linda. See you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Marianne. Bye.
Bye.